Coming up on this episode of Cryptid Addicted.
Menacing the udders of particularly small cows.
We've gone too far.
Oh my god. An antelope eating spider.
Small antelope. Okay. Big feet, big fang. I don't know. Okay.
Big.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi.
Hey everyone.
How is everyone? How are you? How are you, Patty?
Feeling well? Have you got a little tickle in your throat?
Oh, you got
a bit of a cough, a bit of sweats? feeling a bit febrile?
Are you isolated?
That's all right.
We're here for you.
Yeah, well, this is perfect for people who are isolated. Yeah.
We've got you covered with cryptid
shiz.
Ready for the introduction? Let's go.
Are you prepared? Are you ready?
Welcome to Cryptid Addicted, a fun podcast about cryptozoology, the study of potentially unidentified animals, such as El Chupacabras or the Boobri. Sorry. I said boob. I'm Megan, the believer in the duo, and that there sitting on that chair is Patty, who is more skeptical. But we are both open-minded.
That's true, and Megan doesn't believe in a lot of stuff. Like El Chupacabra, and possibly the Boobri, yes. Or whatever it was. I don't know.
Boobri!
We haven't gotten to that one yet.
It's like boob and the cheese, brie.
Boobri. Oh.
I don't know what it is, but I know it's cryptid.
A brie made from breast milk. That would not be nice.
Or would it? Anyway, this is the main episode where we take a monster, look at the evidence, and make a call about whether we think it's real or bunk. But first, we like to start off this with a little segment about a former cryptid that was either proven real or fake. I'm very excited about this one.
For new listeners, Megan does all the research for this show and all of the other content that we produce. And I have no idea what's going to come up until it comes up. So that's why she's taking the lead.
Yes. Yes. And also, I'm so dominating, domineering over the feeble Patty.
Also, I love being spanked. Yeah. Oh,
anyway. you flabbergasted me there. This ex-cryptid is called the Cat Fox.
Ooh. Wait. Does that sound familiar?
Maybe.
We've done a lot. Okay.
Yeah.
Carry on.
Okay. Well, don't get your hopes up. Because this is a different cat fox to the episode 19's cryptid of choice, the cat fox. Different cat fox.
I do so little preparation for these episodes, and you're like, as you may recall from subpoint 1 in episode 19, 2017.
So I'll remind you. So in episode 19, we talked about the cat fox, which was in Sumatra, and basically it was like this possumy thing that the World Wildlife Fund or something had like taken these two photos of, and they were like, oh, is it a possum?
I remember.
So it's nothing to do with that. This has just got the same name.
Okay.
It's cat fox. So this is a Oh, God, I can't pronounce that.
Corsican.
As in Corsica. From Corsica? Yeah, great. Good. Nailed it. Okay, this is a Corsican ex-cryptid, also known as the Gyatu Volop.
It's not going to be known as that for this episode. It's going to be the cat fox.
Okay, are you Googling it? What are you doing?
I want to find out where Corsica is.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Isn't it a French island?
How do you even spell it?
I thought you were cheating. Sorry, I was going to reprimand you.
How do you spell Corsica?
Corsica. I mean, C-A. Damn, that made me look dumb.
It's all right. Edit it out. Okay, cool. No. Sorry, carry on.
I think it's a French island.
Yeah, seems that way.
Oui, mon ami? Great.
Yes. Yeah, ooh! Okay. It's like off Italy.
Yeah, it's really pretty.
Wow, all right, cool.
Great. Roaming around the Asco forest in North Corsica, these critters are cat-like with wider ears, shorter whiskers, and long canine teeth. They are often orange with dark rings, or sort of darker rings, and green eyes. They stalk the grasses at night, supposedly.
I thought they were in a forest.
These cryptids, well, they come out from the forest and head towards your vulnerable livestock.
Okay, all right.
These cryptids, or ex-cryptids, don't pose a threat to humans, but they have tales of them attacking livestock, like, for years and years and years and years and years and years.
Are they supposed to be big? Or are they, like, cat-sized?
No, they're, like, literally cat-sized. Imagine a cat. A fucking household cat.
Little tabby trying to take down, like, a dairy cow. I'm having trouble picturing
it. Sheep. Think sheep. Think, like, a poor little lamb. And this thing has got, yeah, exactly like a cat, but like wider ears, shorter whiskers, long canine teeth. So people would talk about this. It was actually recorded in something called the Shepard mythology.
As in, or like, shepherd, if you will.
yeah. Shepard. I've gone all posh. I'm living in the UK now. This is Shepard. Yeah, the Shepard mythology. And people were like, no, bro, either you're making it up or it's a cat. So they talked about these forest cats that would attack the udders of their ewes and goats.
Mm. Oh, little titty bite.
Yeah.
Looking for that boobery.
Oh, titty bite. Okay. But the shepherds say that they're certain this is no feral cat. It is the cat fox.
Okay.
And then in 2012, this was definitively proven real or fake. Patty, what do you think?
Oh, that's hard. It could go either way.
Of course.
It's like fitty-fitty. I don't know. Let's go real. Let's go real.
Correct!
Whoa!
This is like the first time you've gotten this right! So, this is totally realsies. In 2012, 16 of these cat things were... I'm just so excited. Were discovered roaming the island. Wow. It's only known to exist on the island. Its diet, reproduction habits, and how it even got to the island in the first place remains completely unknown.
Whoa.
It is not a cat. It is not a domestic cat. It's a whole new species of feline. And its closest relatives are the African forest cats, which are obviously quite far away, but they have completely different DNA structure.
I want one, Megan.
They're really cute. I'm about to show you a bloody photo. Are you Googling it? Sorry, I'm very suspicious today.
No, I'm not. But should I go on Facebook so you can message me?
Yes, I'll send you a photo.
Okay.
And a fun fact, just to cap it off before I show you a photo, their fur contains a natural repellent for fleas, ticks, and lice. They've just got this, like, cool mutation in their fur.
Oh, wow. So they've got, like, rid pheromones or something. Cool.
Yeah.
Nice.
Aussie reference. All right, here is the photo.
I don't know if I was, like, a Chinese princeling in a past life or something, but I have the horrible urge to, like, kill one of these endangered animals and wear its pelt or turn it into a bag or something. You know how there's all those like multi-billionaires who like go and kill rhinos and stuff because they want the horn for their soup or whatever it is?
Yes.
I have that instinct deep in me.
What a monster! God!
Don't you? It's like there's something super rare and you're like, I want it.
No!
I want it for me, and I want no one else to have it. I'm going to get rid of all of them, and then I'll keep the last one as my pet, and then I'll turn it into a hat.
No!
No,
a hat. God, you're like Monty Burns.
You don't have that instinct?
No, let me show you. Okay, here is a photo of the cute cat. It's literally, it looks like a pussy cat.
Oh, yeah, like a... That's just a cat, isn't
its it? DNA is completely different. It's a brand new species.
Where are the dog fangs? I was promised fangs.
Oh, fuck. I didn't find a fang photo. Okay, cat, fox, Corsica.
It looks a bit fox-like. It's got the stripes and stuff. Oh, he looks like a good boy.
Here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
There's one with fangs coming.
I've got a photo of a dude measuring fangs.
All right, let's have a look. The fang is like half the size of his fingernail.
It's bigger than a normal cat. I'm assured by the internet.
These things menacing the udders of particularly small cows. All right.
That's just folklore.
The menace of Corsica. That's funny. All right. Well, good. Hey, I got one right.
Yes.
That is the first, I think.
Yeah. Absolutely. You're terrible at that, usually. No offense.
Yeah. Oh, well, it's hard.
I'll try and be more misleading next time. Okay. Cool. All right, so that's the end of that segment. And before we move into the big chunky bit of the episode, we'd like to take this little moment to tell you about more cryptid addicted content if you want it. We just want to stop and tell you about all the cool shit that has been happening recently. So some of you may know that I just went to a conference and was the opening speaker for the Research and Witness Convention 2020. Thank you, Patty. I did a speech on the Yowie, and it was really awesome. It was Friday night. I met some of you who are listening now, some fans. We got some nice photos together.
Yep.
That was awesome. And there were some...
A child came up to her and was like, "You're my inspiration. I love you."
He was like 8 years old.
"I can't believe I'm seeing you in real life." Are you the Megan Devison?
It was so cute. And I got a photo with him and I was like, wow, we should stop swearing so much. Maybe we should tone the dick jokes down. Sorry to that child's mother.
No. Stiff and long and proud and frequent.
But yeah, it was really amazing time. And I obviously was there the whole Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There were amazing speakers from ufology to spirituality, paranormal activity, supernatural stuff, and obviously beautiful cryptid content. So I was there nerding out amongst everyone else, and I had my Osmo Pocket, which is basically a handheld recorder, and recorded some of the most interesting or compelling speeches that I thought. So that includes Deborah Hatswell, who is the UK leading British Bigfoot expert. She is generally just an amazing person. I recorded her whole speech where she talks about cases of British Bigfoot in her local area where she grew up and wider. It was amazing. I'm going to be putting that together soon. And it was amazing. There was a group of ghost hunters there going through all of their different equipment they use to ghost hunt and being like, use this, use that. And I was like, amazing. So I recorded all that.
Don't cross the beams, etc.
Yeah. You would have hated it. There was a Tony Topping, who is a ufologist. He took everyone through a remote viewing session. So I recorded that and you can view it and learn how to remote view, which is basically for paddies in the world. Remote viewing is where you take your subconscious and you put it into the... Yeah, I know, right? I'm already there. You put it into the universe and have sent, like, where there's some coordinates. So if I, like, told you some coordinates and I knew what was there, you would remote view and see what's there using your conscious or unconscious mind and draw whatever you saw. And if it's like, there's a bridge there, and you drew a bridge, it's like, you did it, Patty. Anyway, he taught us how to do it, and it was, like, really fun and really interactive, and I got all that.
I bet he can't even read a fucking map. I bet he doesn't know how longitude and latitude work. What a fucking con. Anyway, so, carry on.
It's good crack. It's really great stuff. Anyway, I got all this amazing footage, and I had such a blast, and... What I want to do with the footage is to give it to the Patreons. So we have a Patreon page, www.patreon.com/cryptidaddicted. We've got some, Patty doesn't know this new yet. We've got some new followers, who are now donating and helping the channel, supporting the channel. And that content is all free to you guys. You can become Patreon for $1 a month. So that is the cheapest option and you can get access to all of this cool content that came out. We also do bi-weekly episodes, so if you want more Cryptid Addicted, we do questions episodes, and we release one this week, which is are there any cryptid whales? Where I just list all the different cryptid whales and give you a quick, like, blow-by-blow of what the hell they are. It was a really fun episode.
Blow-by-blow. Blow-hole.
Yeah. A little bit of whale.
Clever whale sounds. Yeah. Good job.
Thank you. Oh, and also at the conference was the Ancient Aliens guy, Andrew Collins.
Oh, from the meme.
Yeah.
With the hair.
No, not the guy with the hair. No? The guy without the hair.
Well, yeah, like with like a tiny bit of hair left. That's all weird.
No, this is the older bald guy.
The older, okay.
But still famous as hell. And he did a speech on UK cryptid sightings as well. So that's all up on the Patreon. There's shit tons more, but I'm bored now, so I'm going to stop talking about it.
Okay, cool. Wait, one more thing. Well, this is not behind the Patreon, but the BBC thing.
Oh, yeah, sure.
That's so cool. BBC is like legit.
Thank you. Yes. So the last thing on this is saying hello to our awesome new Patreons. We have 3 new Patreons. Yay!
Woo!
Yay! So, hello to IMC Cabe, hello to Lucy Kidd, and a big special hello to Aslan, my man, Tazzy Tiger, $5 a month supporter.
Woo!
And also...
Oh, big man in the house, baller baller. Wow. What a cool guy.
I actually met Aslan at the conference, so we hung out all weekend and we shared in our mutual love of all things strange.
What?
And then we got really drunk together on the closing of the conference. And that was amazing. So really great to meet you guys. And yay, thanks for the support. Keep it coming. Yeah.
Yay. Yeah, that's awesome. So cool. Wow. I hope people don't sign up to our Patreon with names like Petty Guzzles Balls or whatever, so that we have to read them out on the show.
That's amazing! Please do that! God, please do that, guys! Please, someone! Please, it's $1 a month! You can donate it to the cause of embarrassing Patty! Oh my god, yes! Great. If you want to...
I feel like
Patty
I've planted a seed there.
If you want to make me read out that Patty Guzzles Balls, go to www.patreon.com/cryptidaddicted. All right, let's do this. Let's get into it.
All right, the meat of the episode. Which cryptid?
Today's cryptid is the Jabba Fofi.
Whoa, oh. Jabba. How do you spell it?
Why?
No reason. No, I'm not going to Google it. I'm just curious.
It's spelled J-apostrophe-B-A space F-O-F-I.
Jabba Fofi. Okay, Fofi. Cool.
So what is it? People say that Australia has big spiders, but they got nothing on the Jabba Fofi. That's right. These are also known as the Conkleys giant spiders.
Whoa!
They are not dissimilar to the huge spiders in Harry Potter. They are brown, hairy, the size of a large cat or small monkey.
Oh, God. Yeah. Oh, I hope these aren't real.
Are you an arachnophobe? I probably should have asked this before.
I think everyone's an arachnophobe at some level, except a few broken people who like them like crawling on their arms.
Okay, I'm not that crazy. But if you see a huntsman trapped in your house, you're like, oh, and you like get it in the newspaper and you like fling it outside.
No!
Yes!
They're our natural enemies!
What kind of Aussie are you? You're not, right? I forgot. Wait, are you? I don't remember what you like to be called.
What am I?
I said, what kind of Aussie are you? But I don't remember if you refute being an Aussie or you refute being British. I can't remember. Do you have an identity? I don't remember.
I would like to be British, but I'm not. That's what it is.
Fair enough. Anyway, so these things are basically, essentially, giant tarantulas. If anyone has arachnophobia listening... Soz, this episode is not for you. Enjoy the little cute cat story and get the fuck out. It's not going to be your day. Okay, anyway, they have a 6-foot leg span, apparently.
So, what? I thought they were the size of a cat. Now they're 6 feet in diameter?
It's a big cat.
What fucking cat is 6 foot long?
They're the size of a fox cat.
maybe it's because, like, leg span. So if you, like, stretched out the legs, they go to 6 foot. But you know how, like, spiders are all crinkly?
If you stretched your cat out, you could make it 6 foot long.
No. You know how spiders are, like, all crinkly with their legs? Yeah. They go, like, up and down. Maybe if you stretch
them. They're so foul. Have you ever killed one with bug spray?
Yes.
Like, there was a... they die really slowly, and they, like, freak out when they're dying. They're just the most gross things. They're like those alien face clutcher things. I hate spiders. Yeah. All right.
Oh, you're going to love this episode. Okay, anyway, in fact, the Jabafofi, actually, in the language of the Baka people of the Congo, means giant spider. So.
Yeah, well, that's not hugely original.
Direct translation.
Yeah. Straightforward.
They are believed to feast on birds, reptiles, small monkeys, and small jungle antelopes called dukia.
Oh my god. An antelope-eating spider.
Small antelopes. There's these little antelope-y things.
And I kind of believe it could be true, because the Congo is just fucking wild.
Wild.
Anything could come out of the Congo, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
So these giant spiders are not only reported in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, but also Cameroon, Uganda, and the Central African Republic.
Okay, cool.
There's also reports on, like, other places in the world, like even Australia, lol, sucks for you, and Vietnam, I want to say, but I'm just going to focus on the like, OG Congo bad boys. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Okay.
So, to put this all in...
Wait, I've got an idea how we can resolve this.
What?
Why don't you just remote cast to the Congo? Is that what it was?
What are you talking about?
Where you put your consciousness into the coordinates.
Remote viewing?
Remote viewing. Give it a remote view, Megan.
What, just the jungles, having a look?
Yeah, well, I mean, we can Google Maps up some coordinates for you, and then just... You know, you'll be like a trap cam.
Okay, two things. One, I'd be very happy to get on a plane and go to the Congo myself. Thank you very much. And two...
Oh, well, there's no need for that. It's a high-expense version.
Yeah. And two, I don't believe in remote viewing. Let it be known that I'm not there for that.
I think it's an indelible stain on your record that you have participated in a remote viewing session.
It was free! Who's not going to say no? Yes, it's free. I mean, if you get a free something, you're going to have to use it.
Well, no, I guess so. Okay.
If someone hands you a free half-drunk beer... No, okay, yeah, that's gross. You won't drink that. Those days are gone. It's free.
Okay.
Okay?
All right.
But I don't believe in it. I don't want that to be.
I was just taking a jab at you. All right, back to the Congo.
All right. So to put this all into perspective, the largest known species of spider is the Goliath tarantula, which is 10 to 12 inches across.
Yeah, I've seen photos of those.
Significantly smaller.
Foul. Disgusting. Appalling. Yeah.
all right, so, like, I've got a artist rendition of one of these fellas.
Mm-hmm.
It's big, it's spidery, it's the Jabafofi.
That's not a very good drawing. No, it's not bad. It's not badly done, but, like, there's no sense of scale. That could be a little spider.
Yeah, I guess so. Okay, actually, wait. No, this next image is a scale image.
Ooh!
I fucking know you. I know you so well, Patty. Here we go.
Yeah, you do. Has it got, like, a banana in it for reference? No. Oh, no.
It's got a Even person. Better. A dog.
Wow. Oh, God.
And then a spider.
It could kill that dog if it was real.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow. Well, I guess it kills antelope, so of course it could kill a dog. Fuck. God.
Small antelopes. All right. Okay. Where am I?
All right. Terrifying. All right. Completely abominable. All right.
I'm getting quite hot, and I'm going to take my shirt off for just 1 second.
Wait, is this because you're in, like, a sauna of a room? Or like, you're getting really into the cryptids and you're getting a bit hot and heavy?
I'm going to... The first one, and when I say shirt, I mean jumper. Just to clarify, because we are Skyping on camera. All right, just... Oh, 1 second, I got to take my headphones off. All right, we good.
Is this part of the new VIP Patreon content?
Search for Megan's boobery. Yeah. Ew, I've gone too far. We've gone too far.
For the record, you took it there.
I know. And only I can. Okay, anyway. Folklore. All right, we're clear on what it is. It's a big-ass spider. Everyone is aware. Hailing from the Congolese jungle, there are some anecdotal descriptions and stories that supposedly hail. Great. Double hail. That's good. That's good. That's good copywriting, Megan. Supposedly hail from the locals and native tribes. Some assert that the young are easily identifiable by being bright yellow with a purple abdomen. Well, most agree that they were once common, but now the large Jabba Fofi are rare.
But they're all large. That's the thing. What's a small Jabba Fofi? Like only the size of like a warthog or something?
No, like the size of Goliath. Goliath.
The size of the largest spider in the whole world. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, baby ones. They know them well, claiming the Jabba Fofi eggs are pale, yellow-white, and shaped like a peanut.
Huh. Mm. Okay.
So they have all this, like...
A peanut? That's a weird shape for an egg, because it has, like two curves, like two bumps, like a camel's back or something. Like peanuts, but yeah. Or do they mean inside the peanut shell?
I was thinking the nut. Yeah.
Well, that's just what all fucking eggs look like, isn't it?
Well, that checks out.
I think they're just trying to be a bit colorful with their descriptions there. Nice try.
Nice try. Mysterious tribes in the middle of nowhere. Like, there's not even a name on these people. Okay, no, there's a name on these guys. So, the African pygmies... which is not a racist term.
No, they're famous.
Okay, I was like, is that, are you allowed to call people pygmies? Apparently, yes. I'm going to cut all of that out.
Just to be safe.
The African pygmies are a group of ethnicities native to Central Africa, mostly the Congo Basin. So these guys know of these spiders and the dangers to humans. They have a powerful venom that have killed many a man that have strayed too close.
Mm-hmm. Right.
One village shaman reported seeing a giant tarantula creep into his village and attack a small dog. It moved fast, sank its 8 or 9 inch fangs into the dog, and then dragged it away into the jungle.
Wait. Not 9 inch fangs.
8 or 9 inch fangs.
That's like almost a foot long fangs.
Big spider, big fang. You know what they say. Big feet.
I think that's a bit much, but that's okay. Maybe the shaman's exaggerating. Okay.
Big feet, big fang. I don't know. Okay.
Big.
Thank you. All right. So these people explain how giant arachnids weave together a lair made of leaves similar in shape to a traditional pygmy hut. And they spin circular webs, apparently, said to be very strong, between two trees and, like, have a strand that stretch across it and across, like, a game trail.
Yeah.
There they lie in wait for something to get snagged and then they pounce on it like a little, like, trigger line. Yeah.
That's very cool. Mm-hmm. If this was real, because spider silk is, like, super strong, valuable material. Right,
yeah,
but
yeah.
The issue, and they have spider silk farms, which are kind of a bit cruel, where they have like lots of little spiders, and they pull the silk out of them, like on an industrial scale, nice. To produce spider silk because it's a valuable material. Mm. But if these things are real, you get heaps of spider silk out of them, like super strong Congolese spider silk, and it wouldn't be ethically wrong because they're monsters, right?
So we're ethically wrong.
They're like from hell. Oh, that'd be great. I hope they are real, so that we can harvest them on an industrial scale.
You're so horrible. Oh, God, I can't compete. All right, so that's the folklore, and then we move into sightings.
But where do those stories... Do those stories all come from the local pygmy tribes? Or
yes.
Were they, like, relayed to white travellers some point?
They were relayed to white travelers, but they were directly translated. So the information I got was from several. So again, for new listeners, what I do for these episodes is I do a huge deep dive research into everything I can get my sticky hands into. So I've got heaps of books on cryptids. I do lots of research online, watch lots of documentaries and whatever I can, basically. If I can get out there, I will. But obviously, Congo's a little out of my reach. So these specific sightings were from a really good documentary where they were interviewing them there and then and translating. So Amazing. And the guy was like literally the pygmy native was basically using his hands. Yeah, so he wasn't like.
Wow.
It's just like a size of a golf ball, and they're like, "It's huge!" Like he was.
Yeah. Wow. Okay.
Yeah. The only like I suppose caveat to use on that is the story about the shaman in the village. From what I could read, it did seem like it came from. That is a single one that I seem to come from different sources. Like some people put it in Central Africa, but some people put it in Venezuela, which is not in Africa at all.
Where does this shaman hail from?
Yeah, so I think maybe they've just taken that. So who knows? But
okay, all right.
Put it in there.
Cool. Thank you for clarifying.
That's all right. Thank you for asking.
Comprehensively researched.
Oh, thank you.
I guess that's why you're one of the world's top cryptozoological podcasters.
Oh, blush. Wait, no, I meant to say hush, and then I was blushing.
Oh, damn.
Oh, damn. I can't speak. What? You Okay, anyway. The sightings. So the earliest recorded sighting I could find of these was from the 1890s.
Pretty early.
Where Arthur John Symes, I want to say, an English missionary. Oh, what? You gasped.
I love stories like this. I love British people with three barrels and hymns. Usually they have a server, like Sir Arthur John Symes or whatever it was.
Oh, afraid not in this case. I can do an English accent if it makes it more...
Please. Okay. Please.
I mean, I've been here for a year now. I think I'm native. Arthur John Symes, an English missionary, was exploring the shores of Lake Nyasaya in East Africa. I'm just sort of channeling David Attenborough. Okay, at one point on the journey, a couple of his porters, which I had to look up, they're like Sherpas, they like carry bags and stuff. Yeah, I didn't know what
Well, they have them even at like universities and stuff.
What, for people to carry your bag?
And like hotels, like at a hotel, you'll have a porter. Oh, yes.
So he's carrying his suitcases.
Elementary. All right.
A couple of his porters stumbled into spider webbing so thick and large that nothing they had on them could cut through it. As they struggled, two massive spiders descended on them. They presumed a mating couple, as one was 2 feet across and one 4 foot across. The creatures...
Why does that mean they're a mating couple? Like, if you see any two animals where one's half the size of the other, they must be having sex. How does that make sense?
Yeah, I think that's like that natural rule of like the little one.
Or like she's the right height or something. Is that what Sir Arthur's going for?
The chemistry is amazing. You can just flaring off the electricity off these guys.
You could just see it, sparks flying. All right.
And I think it's like the little. Well, I don't know. I was going to say the little one is the female, but actually, in spiders' cases, the little one is the man. Like, and then the woman gets down and mates, and then usually eats the male spider, right?
Maybe this is why Arthur never got knighted. His fascination with the erotic just got in the way.
Jumping to too many conclusions. Okay. The creatures started to attack, landing... What?
What?
The creature starting to attack and landed many bites on the men before Arthur could draw his pistol and fire at them. Unfortunately, the venom had already taken effect, causing deathly pallor, which I had to Google. Pallor is like white, like when
pale.
You're pale. Yeah,
pale.
Like when you're...
Pallor. Yeah.
Yep. Right. Words. It's like when you're like, the blood drains from your face. Okay, cool. Severe fever, swelling around the areas where they had been bitten, delirium, dropping in and out of consciousness, and then after a short period of time, they died.
Oh, wow.
Ta-da!
Wait, well, but then how do we know all of this?
Oh, no, Arthur didn't die. He just, like, his porters died.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah.
Just the...
Hired help.
Yeah.
Patrick. Patrice, how dare you?
Don't Patrice me.
Okay, so the next sighting I have is 1938. You'll notice that there's a big jump there. A married couple from Rhodesia.
48 years. Oh, Rhodesia. I love the colonial sort of vibes of these of this folklore, of these sightings, sorry.
Rhodesia?
Rhodesia. As in Cecil Rhodes.
That means nothing.
As in the Rhodes Scholarship.
That means nothing.
As in the country doesn't exist anymore.
That means nothing. What are you talking? All right. I wrote Southern Africa.
These are just noises, Patty.
I wrote Southern Africa. Is that not in Southern Africa?
No, no, it is. But like, these are all old, like, British colonial assets that no longer exist anymore.
Oh, okay. Following. I'd also like to make a point about this sighting that it took a lot of effort to find the wife's name. Holy crap. They were like, Reginald and wife. Reginald and his wife. I'm like, what's her name? Okay. Anyway, I found it because I'm a badass researcher. Here we go. 1938. Okay. Gotten really intense. A married couple from Rhodesia, Southern Africa. Reginald and Marguerite. Well, I found a name, but I can't pronounce it. Marguerite Lloyd.
How does it differ from Margaret?
It's Marguerite. Marguerite. Ooh. Marguerite.
Marguerite. Yeah, wow.
Or Marguerite?
I don't know.
Just sounds like someone saying Margaret. Weird.
Reginald and wife. Maybe that's why they all said wife, because they were like, fuck it.
Too hard.
It's too hard.
Don't want to embarrass yourself like I did. Okay. Anyway, so they're traveling through remote regions of the Belgian Congo.
Yeah, wow.
They're driving.
That's such a cool thing to do. We should go traveling through the Belgian Congo, except it's not.
Any day.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not called that anymore.
But it's not owned by Belgium anymore. It's a tank.
Oh, yes, let's do that. I'm game. I'm down whenever you are. You free? You free next week?
Yee.
I mean, let's let go. Is there coronavirus there? I think we'll be fine.
Right? I think they don't have it yet, but they also don't have any ability to test for it. So, who knows?
So, yeah. Really?
All right.
Let's do it.
Yeah.
Cool. Book it in. While driving, a furry creature scurried out from the jungle on one side of them and crossed in front of their vehicle. At first, they thought it was a monkey, and they slammed on the brake, avoid hitting it with their truck.
But then they saw it was a devil spider, and they sped up as fast as they could.
And they reverse over and back and forth and back and forth to make sure it was definitely dead. But unfortunately, their 9-inch fucking fangs punched into their tires. And then their friends came in. Their mating couple came and ate them. Okay, anyway, that's not the story. I'm just readjusting. Okay. Slammed on the brakes to avoid hitting it. Only when they stopped could they get a good look at it. It was a huge spider with a leg span of 4 to 5 feet, they estimated. Big boy.
Big boy.
Before they could even reach for their camera, the creature scampered into the undergrowth and was gone. Marguerite was so upset by the incident that she insisted they end the trip early and go home.
Marguerite's nerves were completely frayed. She was at risk of falling into a bout of female hysteria, so Reginald took her home.
He's not a sir. You're much better at that accent than I am. Okay.
There's a phrase that we come across a lot in our cryptozoological travels.
What?
Is that they come across something amazing, but before they could whip out their camera, it scurried into the undergrowth.
100%.
Yeah. Oh, that old chestnut.
The tribes that live in around these parts believe that spiders are just another animal in the forest. Kind of like, yeah, whatever. Oh, cool. Just lives there.
That's good.
Although more rare these days, they are still seen to this day. In 2000, the chief of Baka tribe explained to a naturalist / cryptozoologist, William J. Gibbons, that these creatures had recently built a big spider web close to the village in the Cameroon jungles. However, unfortunately, when William went to investigate, the web was not there. So either the guy was lying, there was mistranslation, William went the wrong way, the spider just packed up and left, or who knows? So I've only got one last sighting, and it's from 2016. And it is a video.
We're leaping around here.
We're definitely in the order of time, but there are big periods. I'm definitely going from A to B to C and then D.
Oh, blush.
Sorry, it took me a minute to work out what you said. Anyway, so 2016, I'm just going to move past that dig. All of them, all five of them in a go. Okay, let's go. So this is a video of a supposed Jabba Fofi. The context behind this photo is, video is very limited. And I've got a quote. Giant spider terrified British tourists when it ran out of bushes towards them. The video was filmed in the Democratic Republic. So,
cool.
I'm going to send you that video now. And I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to send it to you and see what you say. Okay?
Okay. All right. I look forward to it.
Ta-da.
Jabba Fofi. It's 30 seconds long. I'm going to watch it now. Hang on a sec. Oh, wow. Oh, wow. Oh, my God. That looks, that's pretty compelling stuff.
Oh, yeah?
It's not 5 feet. It's like the size of a very, like the Goliath spider kind of thing. But it looks, looks like a big old spider.
They described it as a small puppy size. And like, that's quite a like fluid measurement because puppies come in all shapes and sizes.
Yes.
But like, it's probably a puppy size of a small breed of some kind.
I don't know anything about, like, I'm not one of those people who can look at a photo and be like, that's photoshopped. Right. Or I think like 90% of those people are just pulling it out of their ass. But, so I have no way of knowing if it's fake or not, but if it's real, that's like, that would, convince me that there are very large spiders in the Congo, maybe bigger than the Goliaths, but maybe not 6 feet.
Yeah. I 100% agree. For those who can't see the video at the moment, if you do want to see, I forgot to say earlier, these photos that we're talking about and the videos that we're discussing, they're all going to be on both our Facebook page, Cryptid Addicted, and also on our website, cryptidaddicted.com. So definitely check this out. Let us know what you think of this video. To describe it, though, it's basically a footpath, I would say, or like a rural footpath, but a spider comes out of the brush and seems to be heading towards the lady filming who screams and says like don't move and it's very short but it's a big ass spider. As Patty said, not
surprisingly good footage for as cryptid footage goes.
I agree.
I'm very pleased with this. This is like almost too much to ask for. I feel like Christmas has come early. Like, it's always just anecdotes and people like, oh, it was 100 feet tall, it was hairy, and it had blood curdling. It had a blood curdling cry. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that moves us to proposed explanations. Do you want to continue your train of thought and let us know where you're landing on this?
Oh, yeah, unless you wanted to go through the popular explanations, like other people's theories.
I'm keen for you to go first, because like,
okay. I'm glad that the folklore, like the local tribes, just think it's another animal. They're not like, oh, there are all these animals and then there's a forest spirit, which is what this cryptid is, because that's odd and troubling. So I think that speaks in its favor. I don't ever give much weight to, like, anecdotal stuff, so I'm sort of writing all that off. But there's this video footage, which is amazing. Unless it's faked, and I have no way of telling, because I'm not an expert. That is really convincing to me, that there is a huge spider somewhere. I don't know if that's actually in the Democratic Republic of Congo, like the description says, but would seem like a weird thing to lie about. So, yeah, I'm convinced there's big spiders. Maybe they're only, like, 3 foot wide. Although, at the same time, the one in the video, if you pulled its legs out, like, if it died and you flattened it out to its full length, it could well be, like, 2 feet or something, or 3 feet.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah.
So I'm kind of sold.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yay!
Yeah. I mean, like, 80-90%.
I wanted to do a convincing one.
Yeah. All right, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. So I think I've got like a couple of bits here and there, but basically the leading explanations are, my thing is, I agree completely with what you said. I think it is a spider species undiscovered in the Congo or African area, probably not as big as they're saying. definitely not as big as they're saying, like, what, 6 foot? That's, like, taller than me as a spider. That's just stupid. Maybe, like, 3 foot and under. I've got a cool quote here from Norman Platnick, the American Museum of Natural History's, quote, Spider-Man and scientist. So according to him, scientists have discovered about 43,000 species of spiders and estimates that there are just about as many to be discovered. So plenty of spiders out there. And I looked into the history of the planet and if we knew of any massive spiders. What? Now?
I looked into the history of everything for a bit.
And I had to look if we had ever had, like, fossils of giant-ass spiders.
Oh, like dino spiders or something.
Dino spiders, like, and if they existed once, why would they not exist now? You know, yada, yada, yada. So, there was a relative giant, prehistoric giant spider thing, and it's called the Jackaloptacus Rain-E-I. Jackaloptacus Rain-E-I.
This is going to be a long record.
So this thing lived 390 million years ago. It's a long time ago. It was the size of a large crocodile, and it was an arachnid.
Okay. I don't think that has much relevance to this.
Because
I think explanations of cryptids that are like, what if it's a dinosaur that never died off? Whoa, what if dinosaurs are still around? I think those are not good explanations.
Oh, no, that's not why I'm talking about this. So I'm talking about this because there's an argument that spiders of this size cannot biologically actually exist.
Oh, right. Yes. Oh, that's dumb. Yeah, you got them.
Do I? Yeah? I'm not just a blinding believer. I'm a thinker and a whatever. Okay.
I'm smart!
I got good computer skills. Okay, here we go. So, the school of thought is that skeptics say a spider this big can't exist because most of spiders have two different types, actually all spiders have two different types of respiratory systems. One is more of like a lungy thing like us, and one is this thing called a book lung system. And that's the older type, basically. And it looks kind of like pages of a book when you analyze it under a microscope or whatever. It's cut a thing open. Mm-hmm. And it's not very good at harvesting oxygen from the air. So they say that when a spider gets this big, the oxygen it needs is not capable when you scale up that book lung. It's not, okay. Not possible. So this existence of this giant spider says otherwise, right? Well, maybe not. So first of all, this giant spider was more of a sort of sea scorpion. It lived in water, so obviously that's slightly different. And the reason that this thing could grow so large was because in the environment back then, 390 million years ago, there was 65% more oxygen in the air and environment. So they could have these basic
so
lungs.
What about the Goliath spiders? Do they have book lungs or lung lungs?
No idea. I didn't know you would ask that. You've derailed everything. I hate you. You do some fucking research, okay? You look into it.
But I thought you looked through all world history. What are you doing?
Humans are unpredictable. So basically, as oxygen decreased in the environment and nitrogen increased, arachnids shrunk due to their book lung system, which decreased their efficiency as it enlarges. Also, another theory is that these giant spiders can't live these big, get this big because their exoskeleton becomes really heavy. And obviously, these giant prehistoric spiders lived underwater, which buoyancy helps that.
I'm glad that you're resisting this line of argument, because I think serious thinking, scientifically minded people tend not to say things like that. Like, oh, that could never happen because, spider lung systems just couldn't cope at that level. Because, mm-hmm. You'll just find that they have a different lung system. Like, they've evolved to be, they're not just going to be what we have now exactly, but, you've gone into Microsoft Paint and enlarged it by three times. Mm. Like, they're going to be a bit different. Yeah, I'm glad you're taking the fight to these people.
Thank you. I've got an image here, like an artist rendition of what these giant arachnids look like, just because nature is awesome and was awesome, and we both love animals, and this was an animal that once existed. It's known from fossil records.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
And it was a crocodile size.
And yeah, it is a kind of a scorpion turtle thing.
Yeah.
Freaky crab lobster.
So a little thing on the exoskeleton as well. Some people say, oh, it can never be this big because the exoskeleton is so heavy. Well,
well, shut up.
Well, obviously, like you said, tiger fish. No, that's a whole different episode. Goliath spider eaters, the big boys, they're obviously doing just fine. So that size around about, obviously proven to exist. Also, coconut crabs, which can grow up to 1 meter, 3 foot, 3 inches in length, and can weigh 4.1 kilograms, are basically the largest possible size for a land-based creature to have an exoskeleton, they believe. But anyone who's seen a coconut crab, I don't know if you know what they are. Ready?
No, I don't.
Okay, I'll send you a photo in a second. They're basically hella slow. So there's a reason. I'll send you a picture. And it has scale. It's got a dog in it.
Oh.
Basically, these massive crabs, and they got this heavy exoskeleton, but they're really slow.
Whoa!
Right? These are not in the Congo. Otherwise, I would put this forward as a possible explanation.
Yeah. But also, we're not proposing a spider with, a super thick shell like a crab.
True.
True. You know, it's not going to be that heavy. Wow, I love coconut crabs.
They are native to the Pacific Islands, so nowhere near Africa.
Yeah. I assume they break coconuts apart to eat.
Yeah.
I'm guessing. Total guess.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow. Cool.
So yeah, you're totally right. It would be thinner and potentially not that big. I don't know. Anyway, the last point I have.
It just seems like scientists shouldn't be in the business of saying, this could never happen. You know, remember when the people hadn't run the 4-minute mile yet? And they got all these, fitness scientists to be like, the human body isn't capable of it. And then they were all wrong.
What are you talking about?
It's like, they always find some, the 4-minute mile? Okay, so it was, 100, I forget when it was broken, but, 80 years ago, no one had ever run 1 mile in 40 minutes or... Oh, no, maybe it was a 4-minute, sorry, 4-minute mile. No one had ever run a mile in 4 minutes or less. And no, everyone thought it just couldn't be done. And the people who thought it couldn't be done got some, hack scientists from the University of Western Sydney or whatever to say that actually it's scientifically impossible to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. The body just couldn't do it. It would break, blah, 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 blah. And then someone did it.
Free divers. They're constantly breaking rules.
Exactly. It's just, serious scientists don't do that. They don't say this couldn't, unless there's, some actual law of physics that prevents it from happening. You can't heat a gas and have it contract instead of expand or something like that.
Nerd, I don't understand. I totally agree. And where I land on this is basically I think it's a large unidentified species of spider, not as big as some of the claims, 6 foot, whatever, that's ridiculous. But I think probably if not as big as the Goliath bird eater, bigger, maybe even, is it likely that we've discovered the largest spider in the world? That seems like not necessarily something we can just say.
I feel like people should be jumping on this. Spider expert from the American Natural History Museum, he should be getting some pals together and some HD cameras and going and getting his Nobel Prize, right?
Yeah.
Fly off to Congo and get some photos of this bad boy. Because you know the fucking Daily Telegraph would be all over this shit, right?
You're
going to get all the tabloid press. Huge spider. That's going to be Facebook viral. Yeah.
Yeah, Dobby Kid would have to stand aside when a big spider comes in.
Correct.
So, yeah, the last thing I want to say in 2014 is scientists ran into what they described, scientists, as a puppy-sized spider in Guyana, South America. It was a South American Goliath bird eater, and it was around 30 centimeters, a ruler. That's a ruler size. In length. So that's a small puppy. Again, puppy is a very loose term. and there might be a little bit of trick photography in the photo, but let me show you the size of this thing, because, like, if I was scared in the jungle, and I lived in the jungle, saw a giant spider this big or bigger, I can see how the Jabba Fofi legend exists.
Oh, God. Spiders are so scary.
Oh, you look in the photo.
Why is he that close to it? Get away.
It's all fuzzy.
It's very bristly. It's like a pineapple or something. Okay, yeah, that's scary, but not as big as the one we saw in that YouTube clip either.
Mm, I don't think so either. Yeah, I think the YouTube clip had something bigger. Again, the scale was not really there, but...
I bet it moves really fucking quickly. That's another thing I hate about spiders. They skitter.
Yeah, they don't run away from you. They run towards you.
Yeah, I know. Like cockroaches. So dumb, and then you tread on them. Well, not this. I wouldn't tread on this, but yeah.
Yeah. Gross.
Okay, cool. Cool. So we agree. Well,
yay! We agree. Yay. That was a good, fun episode. Yeah, I... yes. Cool. Well, that's the end. I also just want to finish up with a review, which is really sweet.
Oh.
Yeah? So this is a review coming from Germany. How cool is that?
Oh, wow. I bet it's meticulously punctuated.
Yes, actually. Ready? Help, comma, I'm cryptid addicted. Addicted.
Oh, that's so good. Oh.
So cute. 5 stars.
That's the best.
You're right.
That's my favorite.
I love Megan's accent and Patty's skepticism. Maybe Cryptid Addicted isn't the most professional podcast out there, but it's one of the most entertaining ones for sure. Smiley face. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, bit of a backhanded compliment, but I'll take it.
Yes. Yay, sweet. Anyway, so yeah, that's the end of the episode. Leave us a review, hey? Yeah, we'll read it out. We love reading the reviews. It's really sweet. You can find us at Cryptid Addicted on Facebook, Cryptid_Addicted on Instagram, and check us out on cryptidaddicted.com and www.patreon.com/cryptidaddicted for all that cool content we were talking about earlier.
Yee-yee. And send us stuff if you got any stories or views or whatever.
Yeah, have you seen the giant Congolese spider? Let us know.
Are you in Congo? Do we have a Congolese fan base?
I can look
that
up.
I hope so.
yay, okay, that's it.
All right. See you, everyone. Bye!